neuroscientist Dr. Kerry Speckman, a New Zealander, who's been on this program with me a number of times, and he has had wide coverage of his best-selling book, The Winner's Bible, wrote an article which has caused a lot of interest in the Sunday Telegraph. In it, he writes this, and it's obviously in relation to what has happened with Tiger Woods. Although most of my work focuses on improving a champion's mental and physical performance or helping them break through a barrier, about 12% of elite married male athletes say remaining faithful to their wives is their most difficult battle. Confidentiality is absolutely vital, Kerry writes, in my work. So infidelity is not something I've ever talked publicly about before. It's the best kept secret between me and my clients. Kerry Speckman joins us. So why have you chosen to write about it now, Kerry?
Well, I thought it was a timely, first of all, good evening, Murray. I thought it was quite timely because there's so much, publicity about the Tiger thing and about the public perception of who he is and what's actually happened. And I guess it's a little secret, as we were saying before, that a lot of our, you know, truly elite athletes, they travel the world, they're away so much of their life, they're in very difficult situations, and it's a constant problem they come up with. And I think the whole fabric of modern society has changed a bit. You know, we could probably say we're in a post-religious society as a general rule. And so a lot of these young fellows don't have any sort of moral compass. They do often really love their wives, and they really, really want to be faithful to them. They genuinely do. But they're away for months at a time. They're in hotels day in and day out, surrounded by a lot of other young males who are, you know, hot-blooded young single guys, and the temptation overcomes them. And I think the devastation we've seen with poor Tiger and what it actually has, not just for him, obviously, but the people around him, is really can be really quite catastrophic. And so rather than just trying to battle quietly behind the scenes with a few of my people, I thought, you know, we ought to really say that this is actually a risk factor for some of our young athletes. And by identifying it as a risk factor, we can at least deal with it.
So what's the answer?
Well, it always depends on the athlete themselves and the person. But one of the things I found very successful with these people is, first of all, you have to really bottom out. Do they really, really, really want to be faithful to their wife? That's the first question. And some of them say they do, but they're not really that committed to it. Then you have to confront them about that and just see really where it really lies. So for some people, that's the issue. For other people, they really do, and it's just the moment takes control of them. And so there's a number of things you can do. First of all, the practical things, Murray. Having a wingman who understands you and who's with you and who can see when things are slightly getting out of control and can actually intervene for you. And that is a really personal thing where you really have to bear your soul to someone who's with you and to make it really important to them. And I remember, this is a little story here, very, very short one. I remember one day I was having lunch at Jackie Stewart's place in England. We finished lunch and little Jackie came up to me and he put his arm around my shoulder and he said, "Kerry, we need to go for a walk." And he said, "There's something I just need to tell you." And we went for a walk through his garden and it was a very personal moment and he just wanted to guide me. And, you know, I valued that more than if he'd given me a brand new Ferrari. And I think if you can get your friends to say, "Hey, we're part of this journey," that's the important, the first step. Just the practical things, removing yourself from temptation, those normal things. The next thing, of course, I think, Murray, is that it's not driven just by logic. You know, I think the nether regions are very powerful and they're not really logical. So what I do sometimes with these people is paint a really vividly, emotionally powerful image that will kick into things start to get out of hand. And in the Tiger article, I used the example of a train wreck, you know, where I put one of the athletes' wives and best friends and children in a car driving on the road and painted a lovely picture of how wonderful that was, and it's just a lovely picture of the best friends going out on a happy day. And then this particular athlete was in a train who just drove straight into that car and demolished it, and there were bodies and blood and guts everywhere, very real. And that brings home to them in a visceral, emotional way, better than any logic can. And if you paint those sorts of pictures to them of the devastation, the emotional thing can sometimes kick in even when the logic's not working.
You're listening to Dr. Kerry Spackman. His book is out. A lot of people will be buying this for Christmas. It's The Winner's Bible. Kerry, stay online if you will. In his article to the Sunday Telegraph, Kerry has written this, that although most of his work focuses on improving a champion's mental and physical performance or helping them break through a barrier, 12% of elite married male athletes say remaining faithful to their wives is their most difficult battle. If you've got any questions about Kerry's article, we'll hold him briefly online to answer them directly so you don't have to speculate. You've heard his suggested solutions to these people. So if you want to question him, I suggest you ring quickly now. There is one spare line there and you'll get through on 0800 80 1080. And while we're waiting to see if anybody wants to ring Kerry, we'll take callers on all other topics as well on 0800 80 1080. Paul, you've got a question for Dr. Kerry Spackman.
Yes, I do. Firstly, I'm pleased that it's only 16% or have a trouble. Is it 16% or the
12%.
12%. And is there a particular type of sport that's more vulnerable to this type of thing? You know,
your line is not clear. Can I interpret? I think you're saying, is there special personality characteristics that contribute? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and is it individual or team sport?
Okay, individual or team sport. What's your answer, Kerry?
It's right across the board, and there's no one particular personality style. I mean, the most unlikely people you would ever think battle with this, because it's just a universal temptation. Certainly there are some sports where there's more of a culture where it's more acceptable, and I won't name those. Those are the more higher profile team sports, but because those are the ones where, you know, there's a few lads and they get together. And I think, you know, it's important for our national coaches and our support staff to realise, you know, to help these people. But it's across the board. Most unlikely people you would imagine. Like, I guess probably none of us would have guessed Tiger, probably.
Well, I'd say definitely. Nobody would have.
Yeah.
Definitely. If anybody else has got a question for Kerry, he's got to leave us soon, but we've got an opportunity for you to ring through on 0800 80 10 80 if you've got a question for Dr. Kerry Spackman. Mickey, hi.
Hey, Murray. I was just going to say that you were featured on ESPN today on the Sky Channel talking about, you know, well,
you know what they did, Mickey?
Tell me.
Yeah, I'll tell you how it happened, because it's not only ESPN, it's been on most of the American syndicates. Or networks, whatever the correct term is for them. Sky have used a very good promo where I ask the question to Tiger, which was, Tiger, you are on record as saying that family is more important than golf. Is that always the case? And he responds, always, always. As far as I'm aware, that has been used on at least 5 American syndicates, because on 5 American networks, but they've lifted it without any permission off Sky, but there's really nothing you can do to stop that.
Right.
That's how they've got it.
Yeah, that was interesting. And Murray, too, the mate has an interesting fact, too, Murray, that he makes $25 million per year from golf and $90 million from his sponsors, of course, which will take a big diving step. But also, too, they had this ABC News and Washington Post poll, Murray, and it was a popularity survey about Tiger Woods. And in 2005, he was 85% favourable, which has now dipped to 42% today. And also, Murray, on the news tonight, it had the you know, the 14th woman that's come out that's had an affair with him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
they're all coming out of the woodwork. You'd wonder how many of them are just making it up.
Yeah, but what happened, Murray, you know what she was saying? That he would book her into the hotel under an alias name, and they would have the connecting rooms. Well, she was saying that they had the connecting rooms where, if you've been to the States before, you know how you have those hotels that have the door between the rooms? And, of course, it would be the one that would link into his room. So, yeah, very interesting, isn't it? I mean, the whole thing, like you, Kerry, was saying, he would be the unlikely sort of guy that you would think would have an affair.
Kerry, what are your comments about all these people coming out and saying now what they're saying? Is that predictable human behaviour? You're the neuroscientist. I'm not.
Yes, well, this is a social phenomenon, obviously, and what tends to happen...
Why would you want to come out and say, I'm a slut? Because in reality, that's what they're saying. You know, this is me. I hardly knew him, but I let him do the business.
Yep, and I guess there's a couple of aspects here. The first is that nobody broke ranks until the first person did, because I think they all thought there would be some sort of massive negative publicity against them because Tiger was this holier-than-thou person.
Mm.
And so, but as soon as one person breaks ranks, it's almost like sheep. Everyone tends to follow because, you know, the sheep look, is it okay to go into the next paddock? Is it okay? As soon as one goes into the next paddock, everyone thinks it's okay. So there's a sort of a social phenomenon going on here.
Yep.
I guess really the surprising thing is it hasn't come out earlier.
Taking your calls, 0800 80 1080, we've hauled in Dr. Kerry Spackman, the author of the book, which is it's selling like hotcakes, The Winner's Bible. He also wrote that other book, which was Rewire Your Brain for Permanent Change. No, that's the same one. The Winner's Bible, Rewire Your Brain for Permanent Change, and it's sold well right throughout the world, but particularly selling well here right now. We'll take a couple more questions for Kerry. We've got some people waiting to talk to cricket coaching, and I want to get to them as well. Al, your question for Kerry.
Yeah, hi, Kerry. Hi, Murray. I want to ask a question. You sort of half answered it. Someone asked about other sports and that. Could you tell me whether rugby or rugby league would be high on the list, if not at the top?
Al, I can tell you it's high on the list.
You can't go any further than that, Kerry?
No, I can't, because obviously...
Because it's confidential to you in your position?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's very important, yeah.
All right. Tim, your question, please.
Yeah, hi, Murray. Hi, guys. A very good discussion. I suppose my question, Murray, this borders on the role model discussions that I often hear on your program, but what do sports administrators, what can they do now in terms of their younger people coming on, coming through semi-professional or professional sports to prepare them for this? I mean,
the
young people, nurturing minds, seeing this in the open environment, hearing this, how do administrators and them as individuals, what do we do to support them to be in the best position for later life?
Great question, Kerry.
I think, Murray, one of the things you've touched on before is very important. So when these young athletes come through, they often have huge sort of discipline. You take Tiger as an example. His father was very, well-focused and well-controlled, controlling of Tiger. And then you get to a point where you suddenly become a superstar. And to many of these people, they suddenly run free. Life is, without any rules. And they also get treated a bit like kings. And the normal rules of society don't apply to them. They don't have to queue for their aeroplane and so on. And I think we really need to prepare them as they go through, just as we train their muscles and just as we train their bodies for the top-level sport. We also need to train them that this is what's going to, things will happen, and you have to prepare them. In fact, one of my key rules is you should know a tool and be familiar with it and use it long before you need it. It's all a bit too late once they become superstars to say, okay, now this is going to be a problem. You really need to get them well before that and tell them how to deal with it. Preparation is key.
Final question for Dr. Kerry Spackman comes from you, Tim. Tim? And he's hung up. Kerry, was Woods programmed? And by his father? Would you speculate on that? And that programming, when he did free up, may have led to it?
I think it's a risk factor. I don't think you can ever say it was one thing. I think, I have, if you read the last chapter of my book, had come from also a very disciplined and focused family, and then suddenly you're free. And I think it is a risk factor, and that's an important one to be aware of. And like any risk factor, you need to do things about it.
I do appreciate your time. The Inside Oil from Dr. Kerry Spackman. He's the author of the best-selling book, The Winner's Bible, Rewire Your Brain for Permanent Change.